Pancho leaned both her elbows against the bar and searched the crowd for Amanda. Hey, Pancho! Big George had disentangled himself from the blonde and pushed toward her, the crowd parting before him like sailboats scampering out of the way of a big, lumbering supertanker. "Ow, the bot's biting, old gal?" George asked, in his surprisingly high, sweet tenor. Pancho laughed. While she had worked for years to smother her West Texas accent as she climbed the slippery ladder of Astro Corporation, George's Aussie argot seemed to get thicker every time she saw him. "Some bash, isn't it?" she shouted over the noise of the crowd. George nodded enthusiastically. "Enough money in this room to finance a trip to Alpha Centauri. And back. How's it going with you, Patch?" "No major complaints," she lied, unwilling to talk about the missing freighters. "What's new with the rock rats?" "Closed down the last warehouse on Ceres," George said. "Everything's up in Chrysalis now." "You finally finished the habitat?" "Nah, it'll never be finished. We keep adding to it, hanging bits and pieces here and there, but we don't have to live down in the dust anymore. We've got a decent gravity for ourselves." Searching the crowd as she spoke, Pancho asked, "41G? 1/6, like here. Good enough to keep the bones producing calcium and all that. You seen Mandy?" George's shaggy bearded face compressed into a frown. "You mean Mrs. Humphreys?" "Nope, no sign of her." Pancho could hear the scorn in the big redhead's voice. Like most of the other rock rats, he loathed Martin Humphreys. "Is he sore at Amanda for marrying the hump?" Pancho wondered. Before she could ask George about that, Humphreys appeared in the doorway that led to the living room, clutching Amanda by the wrist at his side. She was splendidly beautiful, wearing a sleeveless white gown that hung to the floor in soft folds. Despite its slack cut, anyone could see that Amanda must be the most beautiful woman in the solar system, Pancho thought. Radiant blonde hair, a face that would shame Helen of Troy, the kind of figure that makes men and even other women stare in unalloyed awe. With a slight grin, Pancho noticed that Amanda's hairdo, piled high atop her head, made her a centimeter or so taller than Humphrey's, even with the lifts he always wore in his shoes. When Pancho had first met Humphreys more than a decade earlier, his face had been round and puffy, his body soft, slightly pot-bellied. Yet his eyes were hard, piercing gray chips of flint set into that bland face. Since he'd married Amanda, though, Humphreys had become slimmer, straighter. His face thinned down, too. Pancho figured he had partaken liberally of nanotech therapies. No need for cosmetic surgery when nanomachines could tighten the muscles, smooth skin, erase wrinkles. Those gray eyes of his were unchanged, though, brutal and ruthless. "Can I have your attention, please?" Humphreys called out in a strong baritone. The room fell silent, and everyone turned to face their host and hostess. Smiling broadly, Humphreys said, "If you can tear yourselves away from the bar for a minute, Amanda and I have an announcement to make in the living room." The guests dutifully trooped into the living room. Pancho and George lingered at the bar, then at last followed the others. George even put his beer mug down. The living room was packed now with women in opulent gowns and dazzling jewelry, men in formal black attire. Peacocks and penguins, Pancho thought. Only the women are the peacocks. Despite the room's great size, it felt slightly uncomfortable with that many bodies pressed together, no matter how well they were dressed. Pancho's nostrils twitched at the mingled scents of perfume and perspiration. Humphreys led Amanda by the hand to the grand piano in the middle of the spacious room, then climbed up on its bench. Amanda stood on the floor beside him, smiling. Yet to Pancho's eyes, she looked uncomfortable, unhappy, almost frightened. "My friends," Humphreys began. "Friends, my blistered butt," Pancho said to herself. "He hasn't got any friends, just people he's bought or bullied." "It's so good to see all of you here. I hope you're enjoying yourselves." Some sycophants started clapping, and in a flash the whole crowd was applauding. Even Pancho slapped her hands together a few times. Humphrey smiled and tried to look properly humble. "I'm so glad," he said. "I'm especially happy to be able to tell you our good news." He hesitated a moment, savoring the crowd's obvious anticipation. "Amanda and I are going to have a son. The exact delivery date hasn't been determined yet, but it should be in late August." The women cooed, the men cheered, then everybody applauded and shouted congratulations. Pancho was tall enough to see past the heads bobbing in front of her. She focused on Amanda. Mandy was smiling, sure enough, but it looked forced, without a trace of happiness behind it. The crowd formed an impromptu reception line, each guest shaking Humphrey's hand and congratulating him and the expectant mother. When Pancho's turn came, she saw that Amanda's china blue eyes looked bleak, miserable. She had known Amanda since they had both been astronauts working for Astro Corporation. Pancho had been there when Mandy had first met Lars Fuchs and when Fuchs proposed to her. They were old friends, confidants, until Amanda had married Humphreys. For the past 8 years, she had seen Mandy only rarely and never alone. "Congratulations, Mandy," Pancho said to her, grasping her hand in both of her own. Amanda's hand felt cold. Pancho could feel it trembling. "Congratulate me, too, Pancho," said Humphreys, full of smiles and good cheer. "I'm the father. She couldn't have done it without me." "Sure," Pancho said, releasing Amanda's hand. "Congratulations. Good work." She wanted to ask him why it had taken 8 years, but held her tongue. She wanted to say that it didn't take skilled labor to impregnate a woman, but she held back on that, too. "Now I've got everything a man needs to be happy," Humphrey said, clutching Amanda's hand possessively, "except Astro Corporation. Why don't you retire gracefully, Pancho, and let me take my rightful place as chairman of the Astro Board?" "In your dreams, Martin," Pancho growled. With a brittle smile, Humphrey said, "Then I'll just have to find some other way to take control of Astro. Over my dead body." Humphrey's smile turned brighter. "Remember, you said that, Pancho. I didn't." Frowning, Pancho left them and drifted off into the crowd. They kept an eye on Amanda. "I can just get her alone without the humper hanging on to her." At last, she saw Amanda disengage herself from her husband's hand and make her way toward the stairs that led up to their bedroom. She looked as if she were fleeing, escaping. Pancho slipped back through the bar into the kitchen and past the busy, clanging, complaining crew that was already starting to clean up the plates and glasses and went up the back stairs. Pancho knew where the master suite was. More than 8 years ago, before Mandy married Fuchs and the humper was pursuing her fervently, Pancho had broken into Humphrey's mansion to do a bit of industrial espionage for Astro Corporation. With the noise of the party guests filtering up from below, she slipped along the upstairs corridor through the open double doors of the sitting room that fronted the master bedroom. Holding her long skirt to keep it from swishing, Pancho went to the bedroom door and looked in. Amanda was in the lavatory. She could see Mandy's reflection in the full-length mirror on the open lavatory door. She was standing in front of the sink, holding a small pill bottle. The bedroom was mirrored all over the place, walls and ceiling. "Wonder if the humper still keeps video cameras behind the mirrors," Pancho asked herself. "Hey, Mandy, you in there?" she called as she stepped into the plushly carpeted bedroom. She could see Amanda flinch with surprise. She dropped the vial of pills she'd been holding. They cascaded into the sink and onto the floor like a miniature hailstorm. "Jeeps, I'm sorry," Pancho said, coming up to the open lavatory door. "Didn't mean to scare you." "It's all right, Pancho," said Amanda, her voice trembling almost as much as her hands. She began to scoop the pills out of the sink and tried to return them to the little bottle. She dropped as many as she got in. Pancho knelt down and started scooping the oval, blood-red lozenges. No trademark embossed on them. "What are these?" she asked. "Something special?" leaning on the sink, trying to hold herself together.